the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of the ground below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show.
The Madisonville Church of Christ, located at 1035 North Main Street, Madisonville, Kentucky, invites you to join them for another edition of What Does the Bible Say? A program of biblical questions and answers presented each week at this time. And now, your host and preacher for the Madisonville Church of Christ, Russell Klein.
Hi there. My name is Russell Klein, and this is What Does the Bible Say? A radio program brought to you each week at this time by the good folks at the Madisonville Church of Christ. Welcome to our broadcast. We hope that you'll enjoy the time that you spend here with us as we seek together answers to your questions about God's holy word. And before I get into the question that I want to try and answer today, I want to be sure and encourage you to send us your questions about the Bible. We welcome any and all questions that you may have about the Bible or about matters relating to the Bible or even just to religion in general. We would like to invite you to write down your questions and mail them to us here at What Does the Bible Say? In care of the Madisonville Church of Christ, which is located at 1035 North Main Street in Madisonville, Kentucky. The zip code here is 42431. The number to call if you would like to reach us by telephone and leave us a message with your question, that's area code 270-821-3544. Or if you would prefer to contact us on the internet, all you need to do is go to the church website. The address is www.madisonvillechurchofchrist.org. Those are all lowercase letters with no spaces or dashes between the words. Once you have found our homepage, look for the link that says Contact Us, and then from there, you'll be able to send me an email message with your question. Regardless of whether you call or write, I just look forward to hearing from you, and I'm very much looking forward to having the opportunity to answer any questions that you have about the Bible. Because, well, that's what we're all about here on What Does the Bible Say? Questions and answers. Now, I would also like to encourage you, if you do choose to go and visit our church website, to check out the audio page of the church website. At the audio page, you will find archived episodes of What Does the Bible Say? We try to keep episodes archived for up to 1 year. So if you missed a week, or if there is a question that you're wondering if we've already covered or not, well, have a look at the audio portion of our webpage. The address again, www.madisonvillechurchofchrist.org. I think that you'll find that we have a lot of helpful resources at the church webpage, and especially in the case of our old audio files and past episodes of this radio program. All right, now, I want to begin with the question that was recently asked of me, and I found it to be a fascinating question, so I wanted to discuss it with all of you here on the air. And it's kind of a long question. I've tried to boil it down to a more brief and succinct way of asking it. But basically the question is this. In Luke 22, why did Jesus tell the apostles to buy swords and then told them to put their swords away when the Jews came to arrest him? What did the Savior mean by all of that? Well, the reference here is to Luke 22. And in order to understand what we're talking about, we need to read this passage together. Luke 22, 35 through 38. Jesus said to them, "When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. He who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. All right, so in verse 35, Jesus was referring back to a time when he had sent them on an earlier assignment. Jesus is telling his disciples here, before, when I sent you out on what some scholars call today a limited commission, when he sent them out into parts of Judea with no money belt, no backpack, don't take anything with you, he said. He said, now, did you lack anything during that time? And they said, well, no, we did not lack anything during that time. And the Lord says, well, now I'm telling you that when you go out on similar trips, which they all would eventually do, you're going to need to take money with you. You're going to need to take clothing with you. You're going to need to take with you all the things that you will need for the road. And if you don't have a sword, well, then you'd better sell something and buy one, because you're going to need that as well. Jesus had instructed his disciples earlier in Luke 10, 1 through 12, not to take anything with them. Now he's saying, when you go out, you better make sure that you take stuff with you into the mission field. All right, now, the question then deals with something that happened a bit later, down in Luke 22, verses 47 through 53, which says, and while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. This, of course, is Luke's account of the arrest of Jesus Christ. First, he is betrayed by Judas, and then he is about to be taken into custody by the Jewish authorities of the city of Jerusalem. Of course, there are a number of improprieties going on here, but what I want to focus on is verses 49 and 50. When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And then one of them didn't even wait for the Lord to reply. He drew out his sword and he cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Why did he cut off his ear? That seems kind of odd. Actually, it seems that what happened was the disciple who drew out his sword was swinging for the man's head, and the man ducked, and it ended up cutting off his ear instead of cutting off his head at the neck. Now, according to John 18, 10 and 11, it was the apostle Peter who drew out his sword and cut off the ear of a man named Malchus, who was one of the servants of the high priest who had come to arrest Jesus. Now, in every case, in every iteration record of this incident, Jesus then heals the ear of Malchus. In fact, the idea is that Jesus was able to restore this man's ear, not just that he bandaged him up and stopped the bleeding, but that he was able to restore the ear that had been cut off. And the interesting thing here is that a lot of folks see this as being in conflict with what the Lord had said earlier. The disciples essentially were asking, okay, Lord, is now the time? Now is when we strike with the sword? And then Peter, well, the impetuous apostle, he's called that for a reason. He draws out his sword and starts to attack. But Jesus stops him. And Jesus essentially says to his disciples that they are not to resist persecution. Okay? There are plenty of other passages where this idea is reinforced. In Matthew 5, 38 through 47, there is this idea that we are not to resist those who seek to violently persecute us because of our faith. As a matter of fact, we are instructed to pray for those who persecute us and who seek to despitefully use us, rather than trying to resist them with force. In 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16, Peter talks about how it is a shame for anyone who is called a Christian to suffer as an evildoer. If I am suffering from the authorities, if the authorities seek to arrest me and punish me because I have committed a crime, because I've stolen something or murdered someone or something like that, well then I'm getting what I deserve under the law and I should be ashamed. But if I am suffering at the hands of the authorities simply because I am a Christian, I shouldn't be ashamed of that at all. In fact, I should take pride in that I was counted worthy to suffer just like the Lord suffered and just like his disciples suffered as well. So, what's the bottom line of all this? These two passages don't contradict each other. The fact is that Christians are perfectly within their rights as Christians to own weapons and to protect themselves from physical threats. If someone seeks to break into my house to steal my stuff or murder me and my family, I am within my rights, even as a Christian, to protect my home and to protect my family. But Christians must not respond to violent persecution with violence of their own. The idea is that if I am being persecuted by someone, especially if I am being persecuted by the authorities for being what I am, then I should not respond to that. I should not fight against that. I should instead suffer persecution. The idea being that it is much more powerful for us as Christians to do things like that, to suffer persecution, rather than to try and fight against it. Remember, we are told by the Lord in John chapter 12, not to respond to evil with more evil, but rather to overcome evil with good. Now, I hope that this makes it plain. There are more things that could be said about it, but I'm out of time. So please tune in again next week for another edition of What Does the Bible Say? And if you have any questions, please send them in to us, share them with us, so that we can look at the answers together. May God bless you as you study His holy word.
Questions and comments to be answered on What Does the Bible Say? Should be sent to What Does the Bible Say? In care of the Madisonville Church of Christ, 1035 North Main Street, Madisonville, Kentucky, 42431. Or you may call the church directly at 821-3544. You are invited to attend the services of the Madisonville Church of Christ, Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30 a.m. with worship following at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. We hope that this morning's program has been informative and uplifting to you. Tune in next week for more questions and answers on What Does the Bible Say?